So, I want to start out with a question. How many of you have heard about the Ashbury College Revival? Okay. How many would like to see something like that happen here? Yep, I'll get there. So, the revival that's going on in Ashbury, it's a college, it's a Christian college. They have a seminary there. And during one of their chapels, minister got up and he started ministering. You're going to have to excuse me a little bit. I'm trying something different. It's not quite... I think I've got a higher chair somewhere. And they had a chapel service, and he spoke, and they were actually going through Romans, and he was doing a section in Romans 12 about walking in love. And after that service, they just didn't leave. And they stayed and they continued to worship God and pray. And it's been going on, I don't know what it is now. 10 days? About 10 days. And it's still going. And God is touching people's lives. Of course, now everybody's hearing about it and you got all the looky-lows going. Everybody's got to get in on it. And actually, one of the students was talking to me about, oh, they got to go down there because they got to, you know, they got to get in on the presence of what God's doing, the God's move. And I started thinking about it and contemplating it. And I realized, why would you want to leave Bible school? Andrew Womack, Karis Bible School. Why would you want to leave that and go down to revival? Why would you want to leave the greater blessing to have the lesser? To be where God's called you to be and doing what God's called you to do is the greater blessing. It's like what's going on down there is people are getting their hearts right with God. But if your heart is already right with God, you have the greater blessing because you already have a revival. It's like, I mean, from Sunday to Sunday, I can have a revival pretty much every Sunday. Every Sunday I come to church, God revives me and makes me feel more blessed and stronger and brings me back into correct standing with Him, you know? Because through the week, sometimes we lose our way. We lose our focus and we start thinking about all the things going on in our lives and we start getting stressed out and frustrated. And then we come to Sunday and go, all right, thank you, Jesus. In the Psalms, it talks about, I don't remember which psalm it is, but he talks about watching the wicked and seeing them flourish in their wickedness and they're doing all of this stuff, but they're not suffering any consequences. And he's like, what? Well, what's the point then? Why should I strive to be righteous? And he says, then I came into your temple. He says, I would have despaired unless I had believed to see the goodness of God. And he realized that when he came into the temple, he said, yes, that's why. Because he had relationship with God. He was in right standing with God. He was in the right place. He loved God and he wanted to honor God. And that's the important thing. The world doesn't want to honor God. It wants to destroy God. Wants to remove any vestige of what he looks like. Why do you think some of these people mutilate themselves so badly? Because they're trying to destroy the likeness of God, and they're trying to make themselves look like something else. Every time we come to church, we have an opportunity to have a revival. And really what we're talking about is to have God move in our lives. What is a revival? Pastor Dan Dennison would always say, you can't have a revival without being vived. So if you haven't been alive to begin with, you can't be realived. A revival is never for the unsaved. It's always for the saved who have walked away. And so here you have a Bible school full of Christians who are now getting serious with God. I can tell you, I am absolutely convinced I know why that revival started. I can tell you why that revival started. I can tell you. Do you guys want to know? He got up and he talked about the love of God from Romans 12. And he talked about walking in love. And at the end of that, he talked about how it's impossible for us to love. Because he said, we need to love people this way. He said, you know, not just our friends, you know, who we love, but also our enemies, people we come in contact with, we need to love. And he says, you can't love people like this, because it's the God kind of love. And then the important point is here. And he said, he put a challenge out to the seniors. He says, seniors, he said, you're going to be graduating pretty soon. Don't leave here without experiencing and being in the love of God, having a touch from knowing that love so that you can take that love. Don't leave here. Don't leave here in 3 months without having a hold of that. And you know what started the revival? Is some of those people responded to that challenge. And they took it literal. And they said, I am not leaving this building until I experience the love of God. Revival always starts when God speaks and people respond. That's always how it starts. Any revival has started this way. Every revival has started this way. Somebody heard the word of God. Some minister sought the will and the word of God, and then they brought it to the people, and the people responded. It's not just, there's a lot of times people are looking for a minister to come to bring them into revival. It's not how it works. The minister brings the word. The people respond, and then God responds. God is doing something in our church. He's trying to accomplish something. There are words. There are things that he said. There's things that he wants to do. And the question is are we going to respond to him? We know that end of last year, God spoke to us a couple of things. One of those things was he's wanting to add to the church. Okay. What does that mean for us? We need to be ready to receive and accept those that God's bringing to the church. We need to show the love of God, because not everyone who's going to come is going to be, you know, perfect. Actually, they're all going to be problems. They're all going to have problems. They're all going to be struggling. They're all going to be dealing with stuff because, well, they haven't been in church. They haven't been in relationship with God to the depth that they could be. So they're all going to have issues. And so we need to walk in love with them. We need to have compassion and concern for them. And then there was a time when God spoke and said, today everything changes. Do you guys remember that? Do we believe it? Do we respond to it? Do we say, yes, everything has changed. I believe that, Lord. I accept that. That what I thought was is no longer the way it is. This area is no longer difficult for us to minister in. This area is no longer closed for us to minister to people. People are open to hear what it is that God's wanting to say. You know, on your job, you people weren't responding to you. That day, everything changed. God said it changed. It changed. And so now you need to believe in what God said. Faith is believing when you don't see it. Because when you do see it, you don't need faith anymore. Faith is for when we don't see. God said, everything changes. God, I believe your word, everything changes. Everything changes. If you're dealing with financial issues, God, I thank you, Lord, that everything changes. That these financial issues are not a problem anymore. That you're showing me what I need to do to make it right. My family's struggling. I'm having difficulty. Everything changes. Everything changes. You know, God, this changes today. That this changed. And now I can walk in knowing that my family is going to be healthy because you're showing me the way. You're showing me what I need to do so that I walk in life and not in death. When God gives a word, when he speaks something, when he speaks forth, when his will is revealed, when there's a prophetic word, prophetic words are always conditional. They're always conditional. You know, we seem to think that, you know, God speaks it, okay, well, then that's just it. God's word was always conditional. It's conditional on the idea that somebody has to respond to it. God says, I'm going to bring salvation to the nation of Israel. You know what? If Moses wouldn't have responded, God wouldn't have been able to bring them out of Egypt, even though it was his word to do so. I mean, I believe God would have found somebody else, but he needs to have somebody who's going to respond. The words that we've got, that people are coming into the church and that things have changed, are dependent upon us responding to them, believing them, and walking that out. So the River Valley Prophecy says this: in 1948, two prophetic words were given by two different individuals who were not known or had even heard each other. The first was given in Spooner, Wisconsin, by a missionary from an independent mission group. And 6 months later, a second was given in Luck, Wisconsin, by an Assembly of God missionary. One couple who had heard both prophecies said that they were almost word for word. And as they were given, the prophecy basically stated that just before Jesus comes, a revival would start at the headwaters of the St. Croix River and continue southward down the entire river. It stated the effects of this revival would reach 100 miles in each side of the river and continue until Jesus came. They also stated that in its path, several cities would be won entirely over to the Lord. Every person in that city saved. Along with salvation of thousands would also be the miraculous in the areas of finances, of healing and deliverance and all kinds, and a return of the entire area to biblical living once again, right up until Jesus' coming and the rapture. This prophecy was given in 1948. And this prophecy is conditional. It's conditional on people responding to the word of God. RVFM has started off of this prophecy. And actually, Pastor John, before he even knew this prophecy, was praying out that entire idea. And this was confirmation to what was already in his heart, to see this entire area touched by God. That revival with healings and deliverance and salvations would all happen in the River Valley. And so because of that, we started praying about it. And as we prayed about it, God led us to start RVFM ministry. And in that ministry, God spoke to us to plant churches. He said, I'm not calling you to start the revival, but I'm calling you to plant a network of churches so we can receive those who get saved, so that they can be taught, that they can be educated. That's why our organization is here. That's why we're planting churches. That's why we're teaching the word of God. I mean, the part that strikes me the most is always in this is the return to biblical living. People returning to biblical living. That's really my heart. Because people getting saved, that's great. But I think the greater blessing is to see people begin to walk out the will of God and begin to walk with God and see him begin to bless their lives because they're walking in obedience to his spirit and to the truth and the word. And then as we do that, God's blessing just flows through our lives, and then we become a blessing to those around us. God can always do miracles to get you out of trouble, but it's better if you walk in blessing so that you can bless those that are in trouble around you. It's a better thing. But to do that, then we have to align ourselves with the will and the word of God. Which means we need to respond to the word. We need to respond to the teaching. We need to respond to what it is that God is saying and say, yes, Lord. Yes. And so we have promises that God has made, and it's just like we need to respond to them. How are we going to respond to these words that God has given? How do we align ourselves with what God said? We believe it. We believe it. God said it, we believe it. If you question it, if you're not sure about it, that's okay. Ask God to confirm it to you. Ask God to show you the truth of it. Because it's okay, we don't want to be drawn away by things that are not of God. So it's okay to question a word when it comes. I do it all the time. I do it all the time. The whole planting of churches, I wasn't convinced on it. And I had actually gone to Pastor John and said, you know what? It's not in my heart to plant churches. It's just not, I just don't have a heart for it. And I said, you okay with me being in the organization? He said, well, are you okay being in an organization that plants church? I said, yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm okay with that. I knew where I was supposed to be. It wasn't in my heart. And then probably about a month, 2 months later, God spoke to me in prayer. And I'm like, okay, we're planting churches. It's okay to question. But keep your heart open to what God is saying. God says he's bringing in 120 people into the church. 120 churches. Yeah, probably eventually. eventually way beyond that. But, you know, 120 people into this church. Well, I don't know. I don't know if that's from God. It seems a little weird, Pastor. It's like, that's okay. Just ask God. God, is this true? Is this really what you're wanting to do? And then let him confirm it to you through the word. You know, if anything violates the word, then you can just discount it. Just say, nope, it's contrary to the word, then I choose to reject it. Because the word is our truth seeker. It's that which tells us, and it's our guidepost. It's our it's the thing that'll keep us safe. And so that's why we always look to the word. We believe in prophecy. We believe in visions and dreams. We believe in healings. We believe in miracles. But we don't believe that a miracle supersedes the word and the will of God. We don't believe that an experience has preeminence over what God has already spoken and revealed through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus is the word. He is the revealed character of God. Since the beginning of the year, the Lord keeps laying sermons on my heart. And I've been like, God, what's the deal here? And things kind of became clearer in the last week. God's trying to say something to us. So if you go back like the last 4 sermons or so, started with freedom always costs something. Freedom always costs something. Our freedom was purchased. Talked about that this morning, that Jesus paid the price so that we could be free. And it's already been paid. We're free. The next one, God is full of compassion. That God is compassionate towards us. He's compassionate towards people. That God wants to reach out and touch people's lives. And then the next one is pursue life. Pursue life. And with everything that we have, we need to be pursuing God. And then the last week was the river of God that makes glad. And I talked about the river of God and that God's river is flowing in this world and that it can flow through us into this world. It has to flow through somebody, and it can flow through you. And there's things that can stop that flow, that can keep the flow of God from moving in our lives. And those things are your faith, your character, and your obedience. Your faith in God, your character, I mean, which is your walking right, doing right, living in the Word, having a mind of Christ, and then obedience. When God asks us to do something, do we do it? And all of those things govern the amount of God's flow in our life. God's trying to prepare us for what he's wanting to do here, and he's wanting to pour out himself through here. And there was a word that there was a river that flows out of this church into this community. If the river of God only flows through people, how do you think that river flows through this church? It's you. As we allow God to operate in our lives, as we begin to walk in faith and walk in obedience, and our character grows, the river of God will flow more strongly through us, and it will flow out of this church into the community around us. And it will water the land, it will bless people, and it will cause harvest to happen. Because one of the biggest things that seeds need is water. Food and water, and they'll grow. Right, Marv?
Yep.
And we need to begin to respond to what God's saying. As God's speaking in the services, and as he's bringing forth message, we need to start asking ourselves, God, what are you saying here? And then respond to it. You know what God said today? You can say it, Rita.
Breakthrough.
That those things that are holding you back are nothing in compared to his power and his glory. That he has the ability, that he has the wisdom and the insight and the knowledge and the power to break through, to cause you to overcome, to change, to become that which you hope you can, but are afraid you never will. Those things that the devil keeps saying, you'll never be free of this. God says, you will be free. It is possible. I will show you the way. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. Come to me, all of you that are heavy laden and weary, and I will give you rest. I will give you rest. He wants to show us the way, and we need to rest in him. God loves you. He loves you. And he wants you to live the best life that you possibly can. And then some. Because Jesus came that we might have life and life abundantly. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you're wanting to move in this church, that you're wanting to move in our lives, that you're wanting to move in this community, and in every community that we as members of this church are in, that you're wanting to move in all of those communities, and you're wanting to see your name glorified. Lord, help us to respond to your word. Help us to have ears to hear and a heart to respond so that your name is glorified and you get glory in our lives and the miraculous begins to happen around us because we're being obedient. And your name is honored and glorified, even with those in this world who don't know you, that they can see that God is alive and he is moving. And so that they can come to know you, see you, and receive you. Father, we love you. We thank you that you sent Jesus to set us free. We thank you, Lord, that you are faithful and that you want to get glory in this earth, and you want to reap a harvest in this area. Help us to see it done. And we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Thank you for responding to the word. Be blessed. Have a wonderful week.